Hello, and welcome to Two Pews in a Pod. Join us as we explore faith in a modern world at Evangelical Lutheran Church in Frederick, Maryland. Now, here is your host, Pastor Paul Baglios.
I'm Paul Baglios. Welcome to episode or part four in our planned four-part series, Favorite Hymns and Why. And as in the previous three episodes of this series, I am joined by my staff colleague, Daniel Catalano, Director of Music Ministries here at Evangelical Lutheran Church in Frederick. And today, Daniel and I are joined by Kevin Kenny. We invited Kevin to be a guest with us for this fourth episode. Kevin is a member of Evangelical Lutheran Church, sings in the choir, serves on the council. What other credentials?
Et cetera.
Et cetera. Good.
Other duties as assigned.
Other duties as assigned. He is a future council president, but doesn't know that yet. I'm teasing you.
He's retired. Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
But we are delighted, and we thought you would be a wonderful guest for this particular episode. We know your love of music and the thoughtful way in which you engage with music that you sing in the life of the church. So welcome, and without further ado, tell us some of the favorite hymns that you would like to acknowledge and describe.
Okay, so obviously as background, I've been singing in choirs for 40 years, so if I would have spent too much time on this, I would have had a scroll of pages of favorite hymns. So the idea of a favorite hymn, I'm pressed for that. I would, if I had to pick, I'd say Amazing Grace or something like that.
All right.
You can't go wrong with that, right? But in all fairness, I always pick songs that have a good bass line.
Okay.
Right? Can't help myself, but that does play something as... If it's a song that's a monotone song, it doesn't move me as much.
Well, give us an example from some of the hymns that you've noted in your notes.
Okay, I'll start with the A for Amazing Grace or B for Beautiful Savior, because they both have lovely music with them and they have incredibly beautiful words. Okay.
Which one would you like to dive into?
Why don't we start with the Amazing Grace? It's an easy enough one to do. I have to look it up. I'm pretty sure that I probably should do that.
And I can see, but I could not sing the bass line. I never paid any attention to the particular bass line of that hymn.
Right, because there's the lyrics. That's incredibly important. Yeah. What are we singing? But for me, what moves me the most is the way the music moves. And when we're singing together as a choir, for example, I love the way it works, that you put these voices together and out of many voices become one. It's a beautiful experience. Mm.
An Amazing Grace comes from a specific tradition in Americana, the shape note tradition, where the score itself looked very different. The shape of the note, whether it was a diamond or what have you, that actually determined how long it was. And so from that music, from which... particularly predominant in Appalachia, it's all throughout Americana. And so this hymn is one of the key examples that they use for that kind and style of music, where the harmonies are pretty straightforward, nothing out of the ordinary, 1, 4, 5, maybe 6, and then 1. But it's just beautiful and rich, and it has a moving bass line. It has a really good moving bass line. So... keeps everything. Is there anything about the text? Is there a line or phrase?
I've always liked the phrasing of this. And one of the things I did last night in preparing for this is I looked up what's the story of the song. And it turns out that it was a slave trader, a British slave trader.
Yep.
And he was on the open ocean. And the person who had taken his place out on deck ended up getting washed overboard. And he sings about, you know, God saved a wretch like me. Mm-hmm. And... knowing the history behind this actually adds something to the richness of it, because, I mean, the words, how sweet the sound, amazing grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, and now I see. That's an incredibly moving, you know, here's a person who managed to, in five short verses, put their life story into this and put emotion and feeling into this, and I love that. Now, in all fairness, it's got a good bass line.
And also, right.
Well, musically, I'll mention that a music course that I took while I was in college as an elective, part of what we were learning was to identify and to be able to produce vocally intervals. And our instructor was helping us to think of the intervals in terms of melodies drilled into our consciousness. And for the interval of the fourth, it was this. That's a fourth.
Right.
The one to the four.
Right, right.
Well, and I even though I'm not sure that it was a Lutheran that came out with this, it's a beautiful Lutheran song because Martin Luther was all about grace. Read this song, read several of these songs, and they're all about God's grace and how God shared his grace with us. And that's what this song in particular focuses on. It's lovely.
Yeah, verse 2, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace that fears
believed. Yeah, I love that.
As how precious did the grace appear the hour I first believed. That's very moving, very deep to our own identity, I think.
Yeah. So it's an example of a very powerful song. It's something that can move us. It is true that this is probably sang at about every third funeral, it seems like. But despite that, it's sung because it's such a moving song, and it's a song about God's grace.
Yep.
So, like I said, the why for me is unfortunately somewhat simple, which is if I like the song, the bass line,
okay,
I'm probably going to like the song.
Well,
however,
yeah,
there are some great, I mean, incredible talent has gone into writing some of these hymns. Mm. It's not something that the poetry of these hymns,
yeah,
and the ability to bring messages of what God has taught us and share them with others is pretty powerful.
Well, and to your point, I mean, I know you said specifically about the bass line, but we have said, I think, in other episodes that I think the make or break for some of these hymns is its singability.
Yeah.
That you can have a wonderful message, but I think it's also coupling that to something that is A, singable, and appealing, that has some sort of musicality to it, I think does some worth.
Well, if I have any concern, it's that the Lutherans have always been known for what? Two things: singing and fellowship, right? We got the fellowship part nailed. The singing, as time goes by, as every new hymn comes out, in my opinion, they are, going right back to your point, they're kind of dumbing them down. Right? And so some of these things, I have to go back to a green book to look up the four-part harmony, because these days it's not there. Or I'm still singing the four-part harmony because I've been singing it for 30 years and it's not there anymore. And everybody's looking at me like, what, can't you read it? I'm like,
we are back now from a technical difficulty here in our podcast studios that we have quickly resolved. But in case the sound of a crashing microphone and table leaf did not get edited out of this episode, you'll know what that's about. I was going to comment about the hymn Amazing Grace. You mentioned that you think it's sung at every third funeral. I think of all the hymns that are in at least Lutheran hymnals, other than Christmas carols, Amazing Grace is probably the most popularly known and recognized hymn. And what I think of is any occasion that neighbors in a community come together for some sort of prayer vigil or candlelight vigil. If a public gathering convened around a shared grief or concern is going to break into song, this is going to be the song.
Agreed. I can recall in other hymnals from pretty much most denominations, I don't know a hymnal that this is not in. Mm. And so it's, I think, just curious how within our culture that's a choice. Because with every hymnal, I mean, as we've said, with every hymnal, they get to choose whether they're using harmonies or just the melody or what hymns. And so that, it must have lasting cultural significance.
And in fact, we see that. I saw that last night when I was playing around with YouTube, that you know the version that you know.
Mm,
right. And then you listen to the version that's there today. It's like,
yeah.
Like,
right.
I think that's a sign that I'm getting not younger, just for the record.
Well, we'll pass on comment. But I see a number of others that you had noted here that, if time permitted, you wanted to touch upon. Tell us of another favorite hymn of yours, Kevin, and why.
So let's pick another one, like When Peace Like a River, It Is Well. I love that song. It's so well written, and it is, the music is moving, and it just so happens to be just a couple pages away.
785.
785, yeah. And so once again, it's got a great bass line. It's got a great harmony, but it's a very cool song to highlight peace, it is well with my soul. And one of the things I didn't know about this until I looked it up last night is that this was written by a guy who, he wrote this on the boat as he was going out to meet his wife, and his four daughters were lost in a shipwreck.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. And I knew nothing about this. And so as he was on the ship before he found his wife who had survived, the four daughters all died, he wrote this hymn. And when you read it again in that context, it's incredibly moving that this person, guy must have had pretty strong faith, right? To have just gone through that and bring this together. And so going through it, when you look at the words by themselves, the music plus the lyricism kind of makes the difference.
Right.
Because if you just looked at this, you'd be like, yeah, it's all right. But when you hear it sung,
right,
it's a very moving piece.
I'm just noticing, and I think this is true for Amazing Grace. I got to go back and look it up. This is a 19th century hymn, as I think Amazing Grace is also.
Maybe even older.
Actually, Amazing Grace is older than that.
I noticed that too, that a lot of the ones that I picked are songs that have been around for a long time. One of them actually came out of the Latin, which makes it pretty old.
Which one?
Give me a second. You might get there quicker than I do. It was Jesus Christ is Risen Today. It comes out of a Latin carol.
Oh, 365. So
like, yeah, 14th century, I think.
So, Kevin, does it have a good bass line?
Give me a second. I got to turn to 365 and try and answer.
My feet are on the organ. My feet are pounding at this point. Yes.
Yeah. This is a well-known piece. It's one that we always sing for Easter.
Yeah.
Lovely. I did notice a pattern that several of these can be sung at Christmas time, but I seem to have a lot of them that hit the Eastertide, if you will. And that's not surprising because obviously Easter is pretty important to what we do, to what we believe, and to what God has done for us.
Right. Well, and often musically in this time frame, I mean, we're looking at the 1700s, even into the 1800s, that it was actually quite often and seen as not plagiarism to just say, oh, I know this hymn, or, you know, Paul wrote this beautiful carol and I'm going to use that same tune as a homage to him for Easter. So it's quite common. I do love, I know that our spring choir festival is coming up in May, and we're highlighting the Wesleyan tradition. And this
there's
is
another
Charles...
song that's almost the same words. Almost,
yeah, right, it's, song. Yes. So that's but the text is pretty close. And so it's just another and that refrain of Alleluia I think fits really well with the feast. I mean, there's as an organist, there's only so many days where I can program that. You know, it's. It could work for almost any day, but for Easter Sunday is a pretty common one. So,
a little while ago, before our microphone crash, you commented appreciatively about the beautiful poetry of your favorite hymns. And I wonder, and I'll say I have at times done this, and I wonder if it's part of your practice too. I have sometimes, as a daily prayer, prayed the words of certain hymns. Have you ever done that
with psalms? I'm trying to remember if I've done that with hymns, but I've certainly done that with psalms. I've done that with scripture. I don't remember doing it with hymns, but it certainly would work. I mean, for some of these, they're absolutely perfect for that. And honestly, one of the things that I do, which is probably not so very common these days, is I'll just take a Bible and I'll open up, point to a spot and start reading that, and that always is meaningful to me because whatever God moves, but I haven't done it in the praying sense for the hymnal. I will say, when you asked me about this, I sat down for an hour or two and listened to YouTube and went through some of these songs. And then I went and mentioned it to Lynn, my wife, and she sat down for about 3 hours after that, going off on her own. Now, she went off on her own tangent, just listening to it, et cetera. But it was kind of remarkable because I'm obviously the old fogey of the two of us. And she is much more into the modern songs that are played in the 10 o'clock service. And I tend to be drawn more to the, and yet I'm pretty young as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Anyways, yeah. So I guess it's just a matter of what you like. I don't know that it makes a difference. And again, God didn't say go out and make perfect noise.
Right.
God said make a joyful mm-hmm. noise. And I think a lot of people are afraid to do that. And yet God will hear it. God mm-hmm. will appreciate it. God loves us for it. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Well said. Mm. What else about this particular hymn might you want to comment on?
Now I have to go back. Which one are you?
Jesus Christ is risen today. This is your pick.
We're blazing through this. Right? We've been whipping around here, so I just got to make sure that we're all singing from the same song.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, like I said, the words of this are fairly simple and yet very powerful. And when it's sung, the resonance of this is just incredible to me. So, I mean, it talks about what he endured on the cross, and of course the part that that transforms us is that he not only did he go through the cross and the suffering, but he took our sins upon himself, but then he rose again. There's a song that doesn't count as a hymn by Dolly Parton, "He's Alive." She's not probably the one that sang it the first time, but if you've ever heard her version of it, it brings tears to my eyes when she sings that. Every single time when she sings that, it's just such a moving song. And I see this similar, that this is something where you hear this and it just brings joy into your heart, right? It's hard to hear this and be in a bad mood afterwards, right? It's an uplifting, incredibly powerful song.
In the previous episode that we recorded, Daniel and I had talked about the hymn "Earth and All Stars." And I love it for the reason you're describing. I can't sing it without being drawn into its joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Easter is particularly strong at that to me. There's so many of them. Now, in all fairness, there's a fair amount in Christmas time as well. I do want to point out that there is something that maybe is unique to me, and then I'll stop, that some of these songs are from a time of my life.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so back in the days of Good Shepherd Lutheran, when I was a young fellow and I was literally baptized and confirmed and married in the same church for the first 25 years of my life, all of these songs are sung everywhere, but there are some of them, like "How Great Thou Art," that version, I still like to sing that version. Now, it's different than what we have. It's different than some of the other hymnals, and yet every time I go back, and unfortunately when you get to be a certain age, I'm going back to Michigan. Every time I'm going back there, it's because there's somebody no longer with us, right? It's just an unfortunate thing. And that song is another one that is often sung there.
Is it the same text, though? Or you said it was different, and I'm curious if it's same.
It's different musically. I think it is the same text for the most part.
Okay.
I haven't seen the text being changed. I've just seen multiple versions of this.
Okay.
The other one that I want to highlight is when I first moved out to Washington, D.C., I moved to Peace in Alexandria, which is a huge, huge congregation, has a large Ethiopian community.
Oh.
And for whatever reason, now this is a Zulu song,
right,
but we are marching. We sang that about once a month in Swahili, right?
Siya hamba kukeye nkwenko.
Siya hamba kukeye nkwenko.
Yeah, right.
Right. So that was so much fun. And I still, 25 years later now, I'm like, ooh, that's fun. I like to sing that song. And then it looks at me like I'm...
I do too. And in fact, when I saw that you had included that on a list of hymns you might want to talk about in this episode, if you had not gotten to it, I was going to ask you to comment on that.
And again, it is such a powerful song. It's a simple song, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a very complex song. It's unlike some of the other ones that have a lot of deep meaning. This is a very simple song, but it's highlighting freedom. It's highlighting, it's a very upbeat song, amazing upbeat song.
Like many of the songs that are sung here by the praise team and the congregation in our contemporary service.
Right, right.
There's emphasis on verbal repetition without a lot of expansive doctrinal elaboration worked into successive verses.
Yeah.
And there's
beauty in both.
There is beauty in both things. And so to say, even like,
you both have mentioned that there is, I think, space for both. And as long as, you know, singing with a joyful noise, I mean, that's the whole encompassing, I think, of the beauty of God in music.
Well, and the note of joy, I think, is a good note perhaps to end this episode. Kevin, this has been great fun.
Thank you very much.
We could have done this on and on and on. Yeah. Perhaps we'll have a reprisal episode and invite Lynn for rebuttal.
Oh, yes.
I would love to do that. I could sit here till 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
this is fun.
We could too.
Yes.
We hope this was fun also for you who have listened or who have watched. We appreciate your taking the time to be with us in this podcast, and we will see you next time. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks very much, guys. Yes. We appreciate the opportunity
Absolutely.
To talk with you.
And thank you, Daniel.
This has been Two Pews in a Pod, a podcast hosted by the lead pastor of Evangelical Lutheran Church in Frederick, Maryland. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.